From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted to welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the seventh and last in a series of messages on the I Am statements of Christ. On seven occasions in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus used of Himself that name which belongs to God alone, I Am. Our text is found in John chapter 15, verses 1 and 5, where Christ said, I am the true vine. This statement had special significance for His audience at the time, for the Old Testament represented the vine as a symbol of Israel. The nation was an imperfect type of Christ, who is the true vine from whom all believers derive life. On the previous broadcast, Dr. Cairns addressed Christ's fitness to be the true vine. This is seen in His unique person, His unique perfection, and in His unique passion. Then Dr. Cairns turned our attention to Christ's fruitfulness as the true vine. That fruit is those whom He redeems. As we have seen, there is an indissoluble union between Christ and His people. Because of that, the life of Christ in us produces the fruit of the Spirit, which the Apostle Paul lists in Galatians chapter 5. Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message in a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a devotional collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Regulated Chastisement. The text is Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 11. I will correct thee in measure. To be left uncorrected would be a fatal sign. It would prove that the Lord has said, He is given unto idols, let him alone. God grant that such may never be our portion. Uninterrupted prosperity is a thing to cause fear and trembling. As many as God tenderly loves, He rebukes and chastens. Those for whom He has no esteem, He allows to fatten themselves without fear, like bullocks for the slaughter. It is in love that our Heavenly Father uses the rod upon His children. Yet see, the correction is in measure. He gives us love without measure, but chastisement in measure. As under the old law, no Israelite could receive more than the 40 stripes save one, which ensured careful counting and limited suffering, so is it with each afflicted member of the household of faith. Every stroke is counted. It is the measure of wisdom, the measure of sympathy, the measure of love by which our chastisement is regulated. Far be it from us to rebel against appointments so divine. Lord, if Thou standest by to measure the bitter drops into my cup, it is for me cheerfully to take that cup from Thy hand and drink according to Thy directions, saying, Thy will be done.
I trust in God, I trust in God.
Thank you.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
I read a lovely thing from John Gill, the great Baptist preacher. And he thought of the fruitfulness of the vine. He says, as the vine is a fruitful tree, brings forth and bears fruit in clusters, so Christ, as man and mediator, is full of grace and truth, of all spiritual blessings and exceeding great and precious promises. From him come the wine of divine love, of gospel truths and gospel ordinances, the various blessings of grace, and the joys of heaven, which are the best wine reserved by him till last. And you know, John Gill was right. I am the vine. The vine, the symbol of fruitfulness, Jesus Christ, the source of every spiritual gift and grace. But having said that it's a beautiful statement, I don't really think that's the import of what Jesus was saying. At least it's not the total import. You see, in John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And what he's saying is that it's not just his gifts and graces that are the fruit of this spiritual vine, but his very people are the evidence of his fruitfulness. He describes this relationship between him and his people as between the stock of the vine and the branches. I am the vine, ye are the branches. In other words, he's speaking of the closest possible union. A branch is not joined to the vine. The branch grows out of the vine. Now, I know that speaking of the olive tree, Paul speaks of grafting. But even there, to use the language of the gardener, it takes. It's not just stuck on. It grows into and therefore out of. But here with the vine, the idea is of the branches growing out of the stock. This is the closest possible union. But I want you to get the picture this gives of the people of God and the fruitfulness of Christ. This is the dignity of being a Christian. I think sometimes in this wicked world in which we live, with so many empty professions of Christianity, so many people forget the supreme dignity of being a Christian. Notice this carefully. The people of God, the branches from this vine, they are the product and they are the outgrowth of what Christ is as mediator and what Christ has done and what Christ is still doing. Christians are the outgrowth of Christ. Person and work. They are the product of the mediator and what the mediator did and does. Not only so, but such is the union between Christ and his people that the life they have is the life that he gives. But what life is it he gives? It is his life. He is communicating to them his life. His virtue. You remember when he healed the woman? He felt that virtue had gone out of him. That's a deep, deep statement. I don't pretend to understand it, but I'm happy to believe it. He felt that virtue had gone out of him. There was something that went from Christ to her that affected the change. And that's the figure that here is. We have got this stock of the vine and the branches are growing out of it. The branch has no life except what comes from the stock. The branch is nothing of itself. Indeed, later on, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Literally, severed from me, you do nothing. Severed from me, you're dead. Severed from me, you have nothing. Everything, you see, comes from this union where Christ the vine, the fruitful one, is producing life in us. He's communicating life to us. He's communicating virtue to us. Dare I say it? Since this vine is the symbol of Christ and his humiliation, when he communicates that life, there is essentially and necessarily in this world a communication of humbling, of suffering. The charismatic drivel that if you know the King, you're going to be a millionaire, you'll never be sick, it's just a lie of the devil. And there is absolutely no spiritual depth while you buy into that lie. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ given to us. That led a section of people who came to be dismissed by many in the Reform camp because of their belief in the second blessing and the Keswick experience and perfect sanctification. Those are things that I think may be rightly not only questioned but dismissed, at least to a large extent. I'm very tempted to take time to explain all that I mean there, but time does not permit. But I will say this, that some of those folk had a beautiful thought and a beautiful theme. Were to them life by faith in Christ effected or expressed such a union that as they got close to Christ they felt he was living out his life through them. The Lord loves sinners. No matter who you are or what you are or what you do, he'll continue to love sinners. The Lord saves sinners. And no matter what you do, he's going to continue to save sinners. But tell me, does God ever really express his love for sinners without expressing it through a Christian? Does God ever exert his power to bring the gospel to sinners without exerting it through a Christian? Does God ever reach the world without reaching the world through a Christian? The answer in every case is no. He doesn't. It is not really true to say he has no hands but my hands. God would not be God if that were true. But the idea is nonetheless something that we should not forget. That God uses his people. One of the great old Puritan works was called The Life of God in the Soul of Man. The Life of God in the Soul of Man. That is eternal life. And there is a union with Christ. That is salvation. And in that union, the Lord Jesus Christ, the center of the vine, the stock of the vine, communicates life and virtue, spiritual grace and power to his people. And that's why this union with Christ yields spiritual fruit. Now I'm going to make the statement that every branch in Christ bears fruit. Not uniformly, not to the same degree, but every branch in Christ bears fruit. For the simple reason, every branch in Christ is united to him, and the life of Christ reaches to every branch. Now some people have thought that verse 2 is an exception to that. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So there we are told by Arminians, well, there are people who were branches in Christ and they were fruitless branches and so he took them away. There have been many varied explanations as to how this verse should be understood. Some people say, well, these are, A.W. Pink, for example, says these were branches. Doesn't say they were always fruitless. He says they became fruitless. And in order, therefore, to rectify that, the verb should not be translated, he taketh away, but he lifteth up. So that the first part of the verse really means the same as the second part, that he's getting it ready to bear fruit. It's true that the verb normally does mean lift up. However, I can't quite see it here, especially since verse 6 says, if a man or if anyone abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Most people, John Calvin and a whole lot of others included, take it, well, what it's saying is that these people are in Christ by profession. They're in the visible church, because there's a sense in which they say the vine and the branches, that's Christ and his church, are being represented here. So they're in the church, but they're not in Christ. But it's very hard to see that when it says every branch in me. I am the vine, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. So I have come to the conclusion, and this is recognized as being just as true to the Greek as the current translation. Just take the in me and put it where it, I think, ought to be. Every branch that beareth not fruit in me. Every branch not bearing fruit in me, he taketh away. Remember what I said, he's talking to Jews. To Jews, the vine was Israel. There were many who were branches of the vine, and they said, we are branches of the vine of God. We're bearing fruit as branches of God's vine. Jesus is saying, salvation is not in Israel. Salvation is not in bearing fruit as a Jew if your fruit is not as a branch in me. God will take you away. In other words, I think the evidence is that all who are branches in Christ receive his fruit producing life, virtue, and energy. And ultimately, this spiritual fruit, what is it? You know, in fundamental churches, the idea is fruit is soul winning. Now, I'm all in favor of you going out to reach souls. Do it. Give out tracts. Invite people to Christ. Take the opportunity to witness. I'm all in favor of it. Go do it. But don't for a minute think that that's the only fruit that we're talking about. In fact, it's not even primarily the fruit that is in view here. Ultimately, spiritual fruit is simply the outworking of our union with Christ. Paul calls it the fruit of the Spirit. He calls it the fruit of righteousness. And that's not only the results of doing right, but the fruit, the results of having the righteousness of Christ imputed to us by faith. This is spiritual fruit. Now, if you're in Christ, if you're in Christ, the life of Christ is in your heart and life and soul. The spiritual virtue of Christ is within you. If that's so, there is fruit. The fruit of the Spirit.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.